And the last 2 days, we have been discussing faith, association with devotees, devotional service, and the obstacles that may arise and how to overcome them. Yesterday, I asked you to do some homework, and that homework was to chant the holy name. Try to hear yourself chant sincerely. So, did anybody try to do that today when you were chanting? Yes, me also. Did you find it helpful to help bring your mind up? Good. These are Prabhupada's 7 words, how to chant attentively. So it's almost like a mantra itself, because you have hearing, chanting, and the heart, sincerity, all together in the chanting. Okay, so today, I'll give you these papers. We're going to do 3 verses today. In today's verses, we'll be discussing the higher levels of devotional service, starting with nishtha, or firm faith, then going to ruchi, or taste, and then after taste comes asakti, attachment, and after attachment comes bhava and prema, ecstasy and pure love of Godhead. So we will start with verse 19 today, and today you can keep all the papers. You don't have to give them back. They're all for you. And since everybody's early, whoever's early gets the papers. And who comes late? Okay. There will be more people coming, so you can keep the papers. More people will be coming. And you will need it for 2 more verses. We're only going to do 1 verse now, verse 19. And after that, we will be doing more verses later. So verse 19, I will say 1 line, and you can repeat after me. Ta-da, just the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. So we have now reached the level of nishtha, or firm faith, very strong faith, determination, steadiness. And we'll also be going on to ruchi, or taste. How do we know when we come to this level of nishtha? What are the symptoms? First of all, you will have control over your senses, gross and subtle. Means mind and senses will be under your control. You will be a goswami, not a godasa. Not servant of senses, will be servant. Senses will be servant of you, and not vice versa. So that's the first symptom. Second symptom is you'll have good qualities consistently. Humility, tolerance, kindness, equanimity. You will have these good qualities. So if you see somebody who has the good qualities, some devotee, and he's also in control of his senses, then he has come to this level of nishtha. And it's actually a pretty high level of devotional service, even though it's not on the level of bhava and prema, because it's just like at the beginning we're going up the hill. Yesterday was up the hill, obstacles. Now when you get to the top, it's nishtha actually. And then nishtha is like the equal. You're equal this side, that side. You come to nishtha, and then to go to bhava and prema is very easy. It's like going down the hill. It'll be very easy for you to get love of Godhead. Once you come up to nishtha, or steadiness, it's find out, Lord, this verse today tells us exactly what is that liberation. Now, over and above these two symptoms, the good qualities and the control of senses, there is another symptom of nishta, and that is you're always chanting Hare Krishna. You have a very strong determination to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, let's hear a little bit about Ruchi, even though we haven't really come to Ruchi yet in this verse, but taste. I'll tell you what is the taste. First symptom of Ruchi, or taste. We have unlimited desire to hear and chant about Krishna. You cannot stop chanting and hearing all day. You just want to talk about Krishna. Second, all false identification of your body as yourself is destroyed. Now you no longer think, oh, I am Indian, I am this, I am that. No, you think, I am servant of Krishna. That is your identity. Or Lord Chaitanya, now Gaurapurnima is coming up. I am servant of Lord Chaitanya. He is the most merciful. Third symptom, all obstacles are destroyed. And fourth symptom, Krishna steals your heart. They have the t-shirt, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. So this will happen when you come to the level of taste or Ruchi. Sachinandan Swami, he has a nice prayer. He says, I pray, wherever I may be, I'll be counted as one of your devotees. Not the best devotee. Yet I don't deserve even the new devotees. So when our material desires are coming up, then we need to feel humility. Oh, I'm not such a great devotee after all. So I need to take shelter of Krishna and humbly beg him, please accept me. Please accept me. Now, we're going to go over the five obstacles for coming to the level of nishta. So again, I'm giving you these papers which I gave you yesterday. And again, the early people get the papers. And you can keep your papers, you don't have to give them back. So this is the same chart I gave you yesterday, and we discussed the right side of the chart yesterday, the six levels of unsteady devotional service. Today, we're going to, the left side we did yesterday, and the right side we're going to do today. So please hand the papers out over here, also on the side. Yeah, it's okay. And make sure the people in the back also get papers. I think we may have enough for everybody at this point in our class. Now, everybody has papers. Keep going back there, yeah. Keep going back. Make sure all the lines get the papers. Okay, anartana vritti. Until you're free from all these things, you cannot come to nishta. So now we will hear what are the last five obstacles that we have to overcome in order to come to nishta. Oh, you got more papers, good. Okay. This is coming from Madhuri Padmini by Kavikarnapur. Somebody in the back wants a paper over there on the men's side. Okay. So the man in the back seat in the back wants a paper. Yeah. Okay. So here we are, Anartana Vritti. Now on the bottom, the first obstacle is laya, or sleep. Tendency to fall asleep while chanting, hearing, and remembering Krishna, especially in Bhagavatam class. And somebody has informed me that during Bhagavatam class, Nidra Devi comes, the goddess of sleep. So that could be why a lot of devotees sleep during Bhagavatam class. Another point about sleeping in Bhagavatam class, my god sister, who lives is in the western, this side of India, I think in Gujarat, one of the temples in Gujarat. She was doing the deity seva in the morning and listening to the class of the loudspeaker, and all of a sudden there was a break and the class stopped, complete silence. So she walked out into the temple room to see what happened, and she saw all the devotees were asleep and the speaker was also asleep. So I guess if you have problem to sleep, it's you can try it. Bhagavatam. Yes. So yeah, they were. So this is the first problem. Conquering sleep. I see devotees. Some devotees, they have a squirt bottle, and as soon as they start sleeping, they start squirting their face. So you can try that if it's a problem. So sometimes also devotees walk during japa. I find it easier to sit during japa, but others find it easier to walk to keep awake. Okay, so Laya, when you no longer sleep in japa and bhagavatam class, you have come to nishta, firm faith. Second one, vikshepa, distraction. What are the distractions that come to us while we are trying to chant the holy name and do devotional service? What could be a distraction in this modern age? Yes? Cell phone, number one distraction. Or internet, number two. Internet, cell phone. That's why it's good to turn off your cell phone during japa when you're trying to chant. Cell phones are a distraction. This age of Kali is the age of distraction. If you just go on the road, you see all these signs that are trying to catch you and make you buy their things, which you don't need, actually. Most of the things people they're trying to sell you are things that you don't need and are not good for you, and better you don't have them. My son, his first job was as a salesman. And he told me, oh, selling is very easy. You just have to convince someone that they need something that they don't really need. That is selling. He says, yeah, I can do that. He was convincing them, you really need this. Without this, you cannot live. That is selling. And that is Kali Yuga. That is today's world. It was very interesting. I lived in the village in Goa for 5 years. Before that, in the 70s in India, there was no television in the villages. There was no television. And I saw a cartoon in the newspaper. The prime minister was Indira Gandhi. And there was also a shortage of food when I was living in India in the 70s. There was a shortage of rice and wheat. It was rationed. In fact, our devotees in Jukubambe, they got arrested for food for life, because they had too much rice. And they got put in jail for food distribution. So, because they were giving all of the food, there was enough, but they were sending it to Russia, and Russia was giving them weapons or something, I don't know why. So there was a cartoon in the newspaper, Indira Gandhi, and the people were complaining, we are hungry, we have no food. And she was saying, don't worry. After 1 week, you will get television. So I was in the village in Goa when television came. I saw what happened to the people in the village after they got television. And it was a very nice village, beautiful place, heavenly planet. And so as soon as television came, the people, before we used to visit them every night, they would come, they would talk to you, we would have, you know, we would have conversations. After TV came, they were just like in front of the TV, just staring, looking at the TV like it was God or something. And then they told me, oh, Mataji, you know, TV told us eggs are good for you. Now we will eat eggs also. So this is how India became the great. I saw it right in the village where I lived. For 5 years I lived in Anjuna Beach in Goa. And before TV came, everyone was socializing. There would be so much activity at night. After TV came, silence. The TV only you could hear and nothing else. So this is... Dist- distraction. This is a distraction of Kali Yuga. So this is an obstacle, second obstacle for coming to the level of nishta on your chart. It comes first laya, sleep, then vikshepa, distraction. Third, apratipati. That means indifference or disinterest. It means that you're not sleepy, you're not distracted, and still you don't want to chant Hare Krishna. Still you don't want to do devotional service. You know, there's no obstacle, but you think, no, why should I? Let me read the newspaper. You will find something to distract you or take you away from it. So this is the third obstacle to coming to steadiness. The fourth one, kashaya, tendency toward bad habits. The fourth obstacle to nishta. And this means you get angry, you have you get proud, or sometimes you get lusty or you get greedy while you're doing devotional service. This is an obstacle to nishta. So we need to control these things. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I'm so lusty, my eyes go everywhere. Prabhupada said, oh, that means you are going to go blind. And the devotee said, oh, blind to material nature, I hope, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, you won't be blind. So be careful. You should see the beautiful form of Krishna. That's where your eyes should go. And the last level, rasa smara, taste for sense pleasure. So this is, your mind is attached to enjoying, and you can't hear and chant the holy name. Even while you're chanting, you're thinking, oh, I think tomorrow we're going to have a very special prasadam, and I can't wait. I wonder what will be the menu tomorrow for the feast. So, or something like that. You know, your mind goes somewhere else to enjoy. So these are the obstacles to nishta. When these are removed, then these things are gone. Anger, greed is gone. You're not influenced. So as we heard yesterday, 75% of the bad qualities are removed. Now what is that 75%? Is explained in this verse, Rajas and Tamas. 75% means you are free from the lower modes of ignorance and passion, lust and greed, lamentation. Now the word in this verse also, it says cha, and that means that there actually a little bit of passion and ignorance is still there, but you are in control of it. You can use your anger for Krishna, just like Hanuman and Arjuna. They use their anger. And you can use your greed to have greed for more service for Krishna. Let me do more service. Let me serve more devotees. Let me sell more books. So, now there's the mode of goodness. You come to the mode of goodness when you come to nishta. Now, in Ayurvedic medicine, and also in describing the mode of goodness, there is one word which describes the essence of Ayurvedic medicine and the essence of the mode of goodness. And this was one Ayurvedic teacher, he was asking that one word when we were taking his course in Vrindavan, Leelandhar Gupta. And actually I knew what that word was. And so I'm asking you, if any of you can think, what is that one word which can explain the essence of Ayurveda and the essence of the mode of goodness? It's the same word. Anybody has an idea? Otherwise, I'll tell you. That word is balance. In Ayurveda, you have to balance the doshas. Balance. In the mode of goodness, you're balanced. Passion and ignorance are balanced with goodness. Goodness rules over passion and ignorance. And so your life is balanced. So you can control. I mean, you may get angry sometimes, but it is for a good purpose. So 75% is gone, and our natural function to chant Hare Krishna becomes very, very easy and pleasant. Now I'm going to give you another sheet of paper which explains the essence of our identity. The problem problem is we don't know who we are really, and we try to be so many things, people that we are not. So let's find out who we are. And if you do have your japa beads, we'll do a little exercise with this, if you have your beads with you. And if you don't have your beads, it's okay, you can just chant anyway. But first, you get this paper.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
know. I know you, it's very hard. You want to chant the whole night. That's really good. I'm so happy. This is the first group who doesn't want to stop chanting. Very nice. Wonderful. Now you can practice this in the morning when you chant your japa. And maybe you won't want to stop then too. So that's good. Very good habit. Now, I want to tell you about the second level of chanting called Nam Abhas. When you come to Nishta, then you're on this level, the clearing state. Even in Artha Nivritti, you can be on this level sometimes because your heart is being clean, becoming clean also. Seven symptoms of coming to the stage of Nishta. Nam Abhas. Number one, faith. The first symptom is Nishta. You come to the level of firm faith. Second symptom of Nam Abhas is the extinction of sinful reactions. Third, liberation from Kali Yuga effects. Because there's so many bad effects. Four, disappearance of fear and advent of peace. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is the symptom of liberation? And Prabhupada said, that means you are fearless. Fearless. No more fear. This is, when you come to this level of chanting, then you will experience fearlessness. Number five, protection from ghosts and adverse planets. So in case you're in Rahu or Ketu, you never fear. The chanting of Hare Krishna will protect you from all these planets. And not only that, Rahu and Ketu will become your friends. They will help you on the spiritual path. Just like Lord Ramachandra and his chart, Rahu was in the sixth house. And that means you will conquer all your enemies. So, for the devotee, when you're coming to the level of Nam Abhas chanting, the planets are all favorable to you. Hare Krishna. Six. The sixth symptom, you will get all the four goals of life. Means dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Will come to your door. Dharma means religiousness. You will be very religious. Artha means money. Money will come to you. And kama, enjoyment will come. And you know, you won't even want it. And that's, yes, that happens. And moksha, liberation will come to your doorstep. Just by chanting Hare Krishna in the clearing stage. And the most wonderful thing, you will be very, very happy. You will get spiritual happiness. And spiritual happiness is eternal and never ends. So this is the best kind of happiness. So this is the mode of goodness. Symptom of the mode of goodness, Nishta, is you're always happy. You're always happy. So if you're not happy, then you're not in the mode of goodness. And you haven't come to Nishta yet. So this is the result of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that we will come to this mode of goodness. This verse says, Cheta etar anavitam. Vitam means you have a piercing, a pain in your heart. The pain in the heart is ignorance and passion. It means, passion means you desire, I must have this thing, I must have that thing, or else I won't be happy. There was one man in Ireland when we met on book distribution. And the man said, you know, the happiest day of my life was when I bought my big, big boat. Because in Ireland there are many lakes and rivers, so people have boats. Even our temple is on an island surrounded by a lake. So he said, the happiest day of my life was when I got my boat and I enjoyed it so much. But then, actually after that, I got another happiest day of my life. The happiest day of my life is when I sold my boat because it gave me so much trouble to maintain. So that is the nature of happiness in this world. You get what you want. Either it doesn't live up to your expectation or it breaks. My son also had a sailboat, but he couldn't afford to keep it also. So he had to sell it. So this is the nature of happiness here. It's temporary and it pinches you. It's mixed with stress. People have to work for 5-6 days in a week, sometimes very, very late hours. And just for the weekend, then they can sleep. Then their happiness is, oh, I worked so hard the whole week, now I can't sleep on Sunday. I will get up at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and that will be my happiness. Or else I will go and drink some wine or something, English, what they call that, English liquor, and I will be happy. This is happiness in the mode of ignorance. It's bad for you from beginning to end. And it just, you're trying to forget the misery. So we want spiritual happiness. So wants eternal happiness. So this is, if you get a taste of this, when you come to the mode of goodness, is joyfulness. And so therefore we have to follow this Christian consciousness. Another word in this verse is tada, means at that time. Now what time is that? At that time, when you have become a brahmana, a true brahmana. A true brahmana means that you, in your mind, you're thinking, I will give this life for Krishna. This life for Krishna. Prabhupada said that we follow our four regulative principles, no gambling. But actually, all of us, all devotees are gambling because we're gambling this life for Krishna. And we're thinking, okay, if I give this life, then I will go to the spiritual world, back to Godhead. It was a gamble. But if we have faith. We have faith. And Bhakti Chandra Maharaj was, when he came to Krishna consciousness in Calcutta, I was the pujari. He was just a small brahmachari. He got initiated first and second at the same time, and his name was Kirchor Gopinath. His brahmachari name was Kirchor Gopinath. And then he got the sannyas, everything all in the same year. And Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada told him that you spend billions of lifetimes in sense gratification. Just give this one life to Krishna. And if you want, you can have billions more lives in sense gratification. So this is nishtha. This is firm faith. I will give this one life to Krishna. Let me give this life to Krishna. So now, we will go to verse 20. I gave you the paper at the beginning of the class. You have to share again the paper. This is verse 20. And this will explain more after you come to the mode of goodness. Then, yeah, I think there's some extra ones up in front in case, I think they need, the Hindi section needs some papers. And maybe. Yeah, and the Hindi section in the back. Oh, you have papers, yeah. Give to the men in the back. They need some, the Hindi speaking. So I will say one line, and you can repeat after me. Evam prasanna manaso. In a mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlightened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. So, what happens next? Cheta evam prasanna manaso means your heart becomes happy. Prasanna. Brahma-bhuta, prasanna. Now, one thing you can notice in all these verses, the heart is the most important thing. Everything is happening in the heart. First, the Lord in the heart, in verse 17, he's cleaning all the dirty things. second, verse 18, all the dirty things are gone, and you come to steadiness, nishta. Now, verse 19, lust and greediness are removed, ignorance and passion. Now, verse 20, your heart becomes joyful. Very, very happy. Very happy. No more anxiety. So, Prabhupada explains in the purport how this happens. As soon as one understands he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. Just like if you have fever. When you have fever, you cannot do your normal activities. You just have to lie in the bed. But when your fever is gone, you feel happy. Oh, now I can get out of the bed. I can do my things that I always do. So now we are in the fever of material enjoyment. What is the fever? The fever means I want more and more things of this world. There was a story Prabhupada told us about one man. His wife was sick with fever and her servant was also sick with fever. And the doctor came and the doctor said, oh, wife, not so serious. Only, what, 38? But your servant, she has a very high fever, 42. And the wife was angry. She said, why? My servant has more fever than I should have 42. She should have 38. So this is the material enjoyment. I should have two cars. Why they have two? I should have two. They should have one. I should have five TVs. I should have iPhone S5S or Samsung Galaxy. All these new things. And they should not have. So this is the material disease. They want more and more. Now when the disease is over, you become actually happy. Because these material things, they do not make you happy. And so how is a devotee happy? How does he show his happiness? He likes to get up early in the morning. Prabhupada said in Vrindavan, you will not see people sleeping nicely. Of course, on Facebook today, I saw why people are not sleeping nicely. My friend Urmila and Bibi Govinda were there, and they have this loud kirtan on the speakers the whole night, so they cannot sleep nicely. But she said in the West, where if you go in London, then they will have parties, loud parties all night. But here, now Holi started in Vrindavan. So they're having a party, but it's about Krishna, and it's about showing the colors, and it's a whole different kind of party. And the people are very happy. And they showed a picture of the Parikrama Marg. It's completely pink today, up early in the morning. One devotee, he tried to avoid the daytime color, but then he went at night. But then the road was covered with all the color, and so any time a truck went by, he got the color all over him. So he couldn't avoid the holy, even at nighttime when nobody was there, the color was covering him. Yeah, you both, I saw that today on Facebook. And my friend asked me, what should I do? And I told her, wear a raincoat. So, because they start putting water also, it's not just dry color, they throw buckets on top of you when you walk. So you have to have a raincoat. Anyway, but this is a happy celebration, better than the drunks having a party in the middle of the night. And she was comparing how the noise in the West is different from that noise of Holi and the noise of kirtan. So, yes. So this is the Bhagavat Bhakti Yoga, you become prasanna manaso, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, and then you understand everything, you get realization, you get taste. So, actually, all of us have some taste, even in the beginning, otherwise we will not come here. And that taste in the beginning is a little, it's different from when you come to the level of taste. The level of taste means you're always feeling some happiness and taste. In the beginning, sometimes we get a taste. So this taste helps us in the beginning because it helps our faith. It makes our faith strong and we can resist temptation because we get a higher taste. So some of us, like in the West, before we were eating meat and intoxication and all these things, but because we got a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, we could leave all these things very easily. Very easily. So that's the first function of taste in the beginning. Also, it destroys ignorance. So these are symptoms. Other symptoms of taste, all your impediments to chanting and hearing, like fatigue and hunger, are no longer there. And you get an insatiable appetite to do even small little things that make you very, very happy, devotional service. Suppose you see a Tulsi plant, you say, oh, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, and you really want to, you have a strong desire to go around the Tulsi and give water to the Tulsi plant, or even plant a Tulsi. So this is, or else you see a devotee walking down and he has a book under his arm and says, oh, Prabhuji, what is that book? Let me see, what book are you reading? Let me see that book. Or you're walking down past the temple and you hear a kirtan and you just start singing that kirtan because it's so attractive, it's so beautiful. Mayapur, and now when I was in Mayapur, you can hear kirtan from four different directions. There's a Harinam party. There's the Prabhupada Kirtan and Prabhupada Samadhi, then there's Kirtan at the Prabhupada's hut, and there's the 12-hour Kirtan, which people are playing on their Mayapur TV computers, and you can hear anywhere you go. One time, actually, I heard three Kirtans at once, because the Navadi Parikrama was going out, and they had the Russian Parikrama, a Hindi Parikrama, the Bengali Parikrama, and the Western English Parikrama. And they all had four different kirtans, six right at sunrise, and I saw them all coming out, amazing, going four different directions. And the Bengali kirtan was very, very sweet. I could tell which was the Bengali kirtan. The ladies were leading the Bengali kirtan also. The men in the front, the ladies in back were leading the Bengali kirtan. Very, very sweet. So this, when your mind just goes to the kirtan, then that's a symptom of taste. And you're very grateful, again, as we mentioned in our first class, gratitude, you're very thankful to Krishna. This is a symptom of taste, that you are so grateful for any little service or anything makes you very, very grateful. So, even, now when you're, before you come to this level of taste, your mind, you're chanting and your mind goes away to something material. And you think, how did my mind go away to that? But when you're in the level of taste, then sometimes you might forget Krishna, and then, but then Krishna comes in your mind, you say, hey, how did I remember Krishna? How Krishna came? I wasn't even thinking of him. And he just, your mind just automatically makes you, your mind becomes your friend. As Gita says, your mind is your friend, your mind is your enemy. In ruchi, in taste, your mind is your friend. Your mind is taking you to Krishna. Okay, so next and last verse, verse 21, again from the first paper I gave you. Three more things are going to happen to you after taste. Verse 21. Vidhate vidya grantis.
Vidhate vidya grantis.
Chityam te sarasam shaya.
Chityam te sarasam shaya.
Shiyam te chas. Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. So, first thing, the knot in our heart is pierced. Did you all know you have a knot in your heart? There's a blockage in your heart here. It's a knot. Now, what is the name of that knot? In English it is two words. In Sanskrit it is one word. One word in Sanskrit or two words in English translation. The knot in the heart is called, it has a name. I cannot hear. Did somebody say something? Raise your hand because I can't. My hearing is yes.
Avidya.
Of avidya. Okay, he says avidya. Any other ideas? Any other ideas? The first letter is correct. A. Huh? Asakti. Yes? What did she say? Anarthas? No, but of course that's also there. All these things are there in the heart. Agnya, that's same as avidya. Okay, I will tell you, it's ahankara. That is the knot in the heart. Ahankara or false ego. Now, first, that was my first. My second question is, now if you suppose you tie something together, usually you tie one thing and another thing and you tie together. So this is the case with the knot in the heart. We are tying two things together. What are those two things we are tying together in the knot in our heart? Two things. Yes?
Mind and heart.
Mind and heart. No. Intelligence. No. It is body and soul. We are tying our body and our soul, that knot, the false ego knot, is taking our body, tying it together to our soul. Another way to look at it is spirit and matter. We are tying spirit and matter together with our false ego. That is what's keeping us here, in a cage, in prison, in this body. Body is like a prison if you don't use it for Krishna. You use it for Krishna, your body is your friend. And your mind is your friend. Otherwise, it becomes a prison where you suffer. So first thing, your knot in the heart are cut. And some of us have more than one knot in our heart. We have many, many knots. Many knots. Ato, we got shittas, utapta, vitaya. Many, many knots. House, bank balance, children, many children. But the good thing is, the good news is, if you use it for Krishna, then everything becomes good. The knot is cut. If you use everything you have for Krishna, you put the one in front, so have so many zeros, then it becomes very valuable. Very valuable. So this is the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness and other paths. You cannot be a grihastha. But in this path, you can be in the family and worship Krishna. Other paths, you have to take sannyas. The jnana, the mayavad, and personal paths, you have to take sannyas. Not in bhakti. In bhakti, you can be grihastha. It is an ashram. So liberation means you have to cultivate the positive Krishna consciousness and at the same time, take out all the anarthas and the weeds. Two things together. Now, another thing that happens is your karma becomes finished. Chityante sarsamshaya, that's your doubts. All your doubts are removed. And chiyante chasya karmani. We all have so much karma in our heart. Now, the example Prabhupada gives is chickpeas. Chickpeas, what is that in India?
Chenna.
If you plant the chickpeas or chenna, it will sprout into a plant. But if you fry it first and try to plant it, it will not come out. So, the chickpeas are like the seeds of material desires in our heart. If you fry them by chanting Hare Krishna and doing service, it will not grow. If you do not chant Hare Krishna, these seeds will grow into many big, big desires to enjoy this world. Not only that, every desire you have will give you another body, another body, another body, another body. So many bodies, you have to come back and suffer. So we want to fry these desires so they don't grow. And that's what we do by chanting Hare Krishna, by doing service for Krishna. Now, the purport explains, again, what happens if you have a video camera in your heart. Prabhupada explains in the purport exactly what is happening. First thing that happens when you are chanting, the Lord shows favor to you by switching on the light in your heart. You switch on the light, then you will see Krishna, and all the dirty things will be gone, because Krishna is there, and you'll see him switching on the light. And he says that in Gita, that I will give the torchlight of knowledge out of special mercy to my devotee. Now, second thing, with a knot in the heart, the Lord comes when you are hearing, and he unties the knot in your heart. Prabhupada said, isn't that wonderful? He will switch on the light of knowledge, and he will untie the knot of your heart. So we should all chant Hare Krishna and worship Krishna. So Ahankara. Ahankara will go, and we will find out who we really are in relationship to Krishna. Now, Sri Prabhupada explained that what will please Krishna the most? Of course, we used to ask Srila Prabhupada, what will please you the most? One time the book distributors asked Prabhupada, and he said, if you love Krishna. But another time he said that Vishvamitra, you all know Vishvamitra, he performed heavy tapasya for 60,000 years. Prabhupada said, you can get the same benefit of this tapasya on a few days of Sankirtan. Just a few days of book distribution, Harinam, is equal to 60,000 years of austerity of Vishwamitra. Isn't that nice? So everybody should do it. Sell books or go on Harinam. Now secondly, another time, he said to the book distributors, to the pujaris in Vrindavan, he said, and the highest service a human being can do is to be a pujari, because he has the material body, but he serves the Supreme Lord. He wakes the Lord up, he feeds him, he bathes him, he dresses him. These are activities of the spiritual world. But the pujari does them in this world. So, he's liberated. This is the perfection of human life. Nothing higher than being a pujari. If you're a pujari, you have your constitutional position even in this world. And he said you must decorate the deities very nicely. By decorating the deities, you're decorating your heart. And if you don't decorate the deities, you won't decorate your heart. And then your heart will become black, and that's why so many people have left. So now I want to talk a little bit more about Ruchi. And I want to give you an example of a dog. This dog lives in Vrindavan. Now, Satchinandana Swami has written about this very special dog, and he says he has accepted this dog as one of his Shiksha gurus. In Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna says, when we look at this world, we should not see it as objects for our sense gratification. We should see everything in this world as our guru, and we can learn a lesson from the earth, from the water, from the air, from the sky. We can learn lessons. They are all our gurus. So this dog, now it's not his Diksha guru, don't get the wrong idea. This is a Shiksha guru of Satchinanda Swami. He said, one morning I was peacefully chanting my japa, and I heard him for the first time. He was moaning with heart-rending intensity. And there was something almost human in his moaning, which made me get out of my room at once to see if I could help him. And then he went away. And the next day I saw him, and his head was pointed beyond Radha-kun towards Lalita-kun, and he was whining and wailing and sobbing. And he was beside himself with grief, and there were two monkeys next to him. And even these monkeys, their hearts were melted, and they were trying to help this dog. And they were caressing him, massaging him, and one was whispering in his right ear, one was whispering in the left ear. And the scene was very soul-stirring, he said. Now, the monkeys and dogs in Vrindavan are enemies. The dogs chase the monkeys. But this case was different. These monkeys were trying to help this dog, who was really crying. So he said, the pitiable cry of this dog was raw emotion expressing an absolute need which couldn't tolerate any further delay. When he noticed I was watching, quickly composed himself, embarrassed by my intrusion, and he left. No mistake, I saw tears in his eyes. So then I saw him again after a few days in the temple of Radha Gopinath. He was sitting in front of the deities, and beautiful tears were glittering in his eyes. So then I understood that while he was crying, he was looking over towards the temple, and there was no doubt about whom he was crying for. This dog is one of my gurus who confirmed a teaching of Srila Prabhupada. The only price for Krishna consciousness are your sincere tears. Tears shed out of longing for the king and queen of Vrindavan forest, Shishi Radha Krishna. So this is the Vrindavan dog. Yeah, there are also some monkeys who come off for obeisances. The animals in Vrindavan are all fallen devotees, Srila Prabhupada has informed us. You could also become. Don't put an offense in Vrindavan or else you will become a hog, a dog, or a monkey in Vrindavan. So, one last story. There was one lady in Juhu Beach, Mrs. Singhal. I don't know if any of you knew her. She has left her body. She used to invite us and she would sing rich glassy bhajans all the time. One time she invited Prabhupada and two sannyasis to her house. They were waiting and she burst into the room playing a violin and singing a rich glassy bhajan with a friend of hers. And one of the sannyasis said, oh, this is the Hajiya. And he was thinking, oh, this is really bad. But Prabhupada said, no, this is spontaneous devotion. She is a Vaishnava from birth. You are just beginning to learn how to be a Vaishnava. So there are people who have this love for God, spontaneous love. If you visit Jaipur, you will see people like this. And 4 o'clock in the morning, people running in the streets and they're shouting, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. And just today I was reading on Facebook, one man was telling the devotee, for the last 45 years, every single day, I am singing for the Lord in the evening arti. 45 years. So this is steadiness. This is steadiness in devotional service. So now I gave you this paper with two prayers. One of them was Chaitanya Dasui. So now we will sing the last prayer before we leave. There are a few copies here if anybody needs a copy. So the second prayer is about the goal of life. We also have many, many goals, many purposes in our life, things we want to achieve. Like, who can give me an example of a goal? Just a short-term goal. It doesn't have to be big goal, but any ideas or examples? Yes?
The month of Kartik, you can chant Ishwaran.
Okay, well, that's a spiritual goal. Okay, very good. Chant Ishwaran. I'm thinking more of the material goals, like, okay, I have to graduate from the university, pass exams, or, but that's good. Better you think of spiritual goals. So this is the highest goal, this verse is going to tell us. The second prayer from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila. And this is prema, the goal of prema, or love of Krishna. So I'll sing one line, you can repeat after me.
Prema tana vina vyarta daritra jivan. Prema tana vina vyarta daritra jivan. Das kvari vettam vare deho.
Accept me as your servant and give me the salary of of ecstatic love of God. So again, you can, when you chant your japa, if you're thinking of something else you have to do, just remember what you really have to do. What is your real goal of life? And that is love of God. And that is your salary for doing all this devotional service. You will get love of God. That will be your payment. And it's the most wonderful thing when you get love of God. Okay, so I will stop here if there are any questions you can ask. No? And if there are no questions, I will share something. But if there are questions, it's okay. Any questions? Yes? Okay, the microphone is here. Oh yeah, okay. Madhurya Padamani Nectar Shower. So in Madhurya, the book which this chart is taken from is called Madhurya Padamani. The chapters are not called chapters, they are called nectar showers. So the second nectar shower will be the second chapter of Madhurya Padamani Nectar Shower. Just like in Nectar of Devotion, it has waves, four waves. They have chapters also. But there are four different waves, north, east, south, and western waves of the ocean, of Nectar of Devotion. So in Madhurya Padamani, there are nectar showers. And if you want to find the reference, then you can look it up in the book called Madhurya Padamani. Devotional books are not like materialistic books. They're quite different. You can shower with nectar when you read these books. Any other questions?
How to make our mind our friend?
How to make our mind our friend? Very good question. Yes, because Bhagavad Gita says you should make your mind your friend. So there is an Indian, American Indian, not Indian Indian, American Indian proverb. And it describes, in your heart, there are two dogs fighting. One dog is the good dog. Some of you may know this. Another dog is the bad dog. The good dog has all the good qualities. It wants to help you, elevate you. The bad dog wants to take you down and degrade you. So, who is going to win the battle? The good dog or the bad dog? If you know the answer, don't say. If somebody who has not heard this before knows, can figure out the answer, then you can say. But who is going to win the fight? The good one or the bad dog? And the answer is, the dog who you feed the most is going to win. So, if you feed your bad dog is going to win the fight. What is food for the bad dog? What do we feed? Movies, fast food, restaurants. What else can we feed the bad dog? And the good dog, what do we feed the good dog? Hare Krishna mantra, Prabhupada's books, association with devotees. Yeah, when I was in Australia, I met one very, very sincere young boy who was born in our movement. He's a Gurukuli. He's a devotee from birth. And he's very sincere. And he even said, I want to be Brahmachari. I said, well, it would be very difficult for you living in the West to be Brahmachari. And he said, Mataji, okay, so what shall I do? How can I become free from all this material contamination? So my first question to him was, do you watch movies? He said, yes. Everybody watches movies. I said, well, okay, that's the first thing. All our Gurukulis watch movies, most of them. That's very difficult to give up. And I said, so this, if you watch a movie, then it comes in your heart. You take a picture of everything you see, and it stays with you.
And it will stay with you for many, many births. It's a permanent picture in your heart. Now, at the time of death, whatever you have inside is going to come in front of you. Whatever you saw and experienced in this life will come before you at the time of death. And whatever you, at that point, where your mind becomes attached or attracted, then you die and that's where you go. That's the kind of body you get. You have to be very, very careful. You go to the temple and take pictures of the deeds in your heart. Keep them in your heart. Take pictures of Prabhupada. Take pictures of these Rathyatra, or things that keep these in your heart. Keep pictures of the books, Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, you'll have these pictures of the movies, and in your next life, you'll be one of those characters in the movie, and it may not be such a good character you want to be, you know? But it depends how deep was the sanskara when you watched that movie, how deep it went to your heart, and you have to be very, very careful about that. Yes. I'll tell you one story about one man that he experienced a near-death experience. He was a very sinful person. He's still alive now. I mean, he was like an army person, and he used to kill people, just assassinate people, beat them or kill them or shoot them. So he had a near-death experience, and what he experienced was, he almost died, was at that point, his whole life came in front of him. Every single person who he beat, he felt what that person was feeling, not only what that person was feeling, what his family was feeling, who he killed, you know, how they were feeling about his death, how his friends were feeling. He went through all the feelings, every single person. He also sold guns to countries. Then he had to feel what those guns, who those guns killed. He had to feel how those persons felt when they were being killed, and how their families felt, all those things he felt. Then he came back, he became a very good man. And he didn't do those things anymore. Because he said, whatever good you give, and he did a few good things, and he got that also. Whatever good you give before you die, you're going to go through that. Whatever bad you give others, you will also go through that. So be very, very careful of how you treat people in this life. You give them Hare Krishna, you give them spiritual life, you try to help them. So to make your mind a friend, you have to feed your mind spiritual things. We give so many things for the body and for the material mind, but this will only make your mind your enemy, especially at time of death. You give, who is giving spiritual food? Prabhupada, he went to MIT in America, he lectured, and he questioned the students and the faculty, where is your department of the soul? And they said, oh, Swami, we don't have such department in this, at MIT, you know, like IIT. Where's the department of the soul? You won't find that. So people, they're not getting spiritual food and they're dying. And the hunger, there is spiritual hunger. Everybody is hungry in this world for spiritual food. The soul is not being fed. So therefore, you have to feed your soul. You have to give spiritual food. And then your mind will become your friend. Okay? Any other?